Here we go again. It's the news. I better turn myself up. You can't hear me. You won't hear the news, according to me. Yeah, it is Tuesday, March 24th. Hopefully I'm coming through okay. It doesn't sound very loud. I wonder if I got... You know, my cat likes to play with this thing. Hello. It is Tuesday, March 24th, 2026, 9:39 a.m. I'm getting a bit of a late start here this morning. Let's turn the band down. These guys are going crazy over there. You guys need to settle down a little bit. They love to play, especially early on a Tuesday morning. It's not early. They're just about ready to go to bed. They're just finishing up. So that's when musicians do their stuff. Anyway, what's going on with my voice here? I got something going on. I haven't been doing any talking this morning. Well, not much. Not enough, apparently. Good news. The AI is back in business. Doing its thing. I have fixed the problem on my own. I went back and figured out basically what I have to do. Apparently, every time I mess with an API key on any other MVP that I'm creating, a marginally viable product. That's all. I know I'm speaking way over your heads on this stuff. This is all programming lingo, the vibe talk on the stuff. It is Technical Tuesday. We are talking about technical stuff today. Technology. We're doing. That's what we're talking about today. It's a meme. I don't know if you've seen it or not. Anyway, that's where we are today. We're in the middle of this stuff. I have a few things to talk about. We're going to get some callers. We're going to have some callers calling in because that's always fun. Have some of that doing. But in the background, sorry, I got to take a drink. I don't know what's going on. I have like a little thing happening here in my throat. I'm not sure what happens. My cat likes to play with likes to jump up here. One of the cats. The other cat's pretty timid about it. I mean, she'll get up here. Wallow around on the desk occasionally. Usually she likes to sit in my lap. She doesn't like to get up on the table. The other cat, the big cat, the 20-pound cat, that could rip your arm off if you're not careful. It's like living with a bobcat. We have, go after you if you're not careful. You got to kind of, have to kind of, you know, give him a little leeway. I grabbed him one time. Scared the daylights out of him. He screamed. Didn't get me. He just kind of froze. And he kind of screamed. I never heard a cat scream like that. But anyway, we're working on a few other projects around here. I got a lot of projects going on. Everything from the yard, motorhomes, camping, tools. Got too much going on. I need about five of me to get done, just to get anything done, just to get anything started. I need one of me just to get the other four in line. My chai is already cold. I just heated it up again. Have I been down here that long? Anyway, getting a little bit of a late start, but a start nonetheless. I have some new equipment coming tomorrow. That's going to make the show, you probably, on your end, you may not even notice anything on your end. I don't know. Well, you might, because it's going to help out a few things. It will help a few things out. One is a lot of times when I try to upload, what I do is I record this show with the cat not around. The other cat is locked away in a little bedroom somewhere, so I can actually do the show. But I have... he likes to come up here and push buttons on my stuff, and it's crazy. I have to always kind of make sure everything's set right before I start in. But what ends up happening is I try to upload the program. Well, the way I do that is I record this thing on a regular recording thing. It's very low latency, but very low. Doesn't use a lot of processing power. Let's just put it that way. And now in the day, this computer, I'm running a bunch of stuff in the background. I'm talking about all kinds of stuff running right now. I wouldn't have been able to do that without this computer when I got it. However, it's stressing it to the max. So I'm recording this on a system that doesn't require a whole lot of bandwidth kind of thing. It's all native to the computer. It's not online or anything. I'm recording it right here. However, when I go to record, I record it on there, and then I take that file and I drop it over into my Logic Pro, which is a DAW, a digital audio workstation. It's kind of like the kind of thing you see people who do lots of audio mixing and stuff like that. It's kind of like a digital mixer type thing. You throw your tracks on there. Used to be back in the day, we would record things on a tape. I had one of those. I had an 8-track system, digital recording system. And it, not an 8-track like you would see. It was an 8-channel, I should say, 8-channel digital. It was digital recording, but it was onto a tape. And you had to go back and find the spot on the tape that you wanted to. You wouldn't have to cut and splice tape. It was cassettes. You would put the cassettes in there, but it had 8 different individual channels on it. It would be considered a track, but it wasn't an 8-track like you put in your car. It was a very different kind of animal. You could go back and you could lay down a track, and then you would go back and play that track while you laid down another track in the background. You could overdub it or whatever you wanted to do. Very sophisticated in its day. Now it would be considered an antique, archaic museum piece. I used it to try to do some things with it. It didn't work. I was buying it from this lady who was trying to sell it, and I used it a little bit, and I was like, this is just not. For one thing, there were some channels that weren't working. You kind of used a regular mixer to do everything with, and it was modern in its day. Because you didn't have to deal with cutting and literally cutting and splicing tape. However, it was still this is the day when the DAWs were coming out, the digital workstations were coming out, and people were starting to use that kind of thing. Of course, they used up a lot of bandwidth. you barely run the thing you couldn't run anything else besides your audio. You could record one thing at a time, and sometimes that would crash. Nowadays we have, you can record 32 channels at once on this computer that I have now. If I shut everything else off and just ran the DAW, I could literally set up a mixer. I've got a mixer here with 16 channels on it. I could actually plug that in via a USB, no less. And I could actually plug that in to the computer and run. I could record 16 different tracks at the same time, channels at the same time. And I've done that. I actually did it on a laptop for when I first got the thing. I have a first mixer that I bought that has 16 channels. Basically, I only used about 8 at a time. You got microphones all over the place. You could literally mic up a drum set with maybe 4 or 5 microphones, and you could run all those into different separate tracks in the DAW. And then you'd also have your vocal, and you have your guitar, you have your piano, whatever else you got going on, and even percussion in the background. Even some overhead mics. And you could even play a backing track through the thing if you wanted to. You could play if you were doing something else going on. It was quite amazing. And you could run channels out. Of course, then the channels out, you could run to a regular PA system. So you could, amplify it if you wanted to use that mix. You had 2 separate mixes. You could go one in the digital DAW, and then you got another mix that would be house mix. And it would go out separately. Kind of be careful how you set that up, because you could definitely bounce back and forth backwards with that stuff. Nowadays, you can do all that stuff hardly. You could do it from an iPad on some of the new mixing systems that they have now. The Behringer 32 is one of the standards that are out there that I love working with that one. You can save settings. You can do all kinds. You've got a wedding coming up. You can set everything up for that. You can leave it that way. You can set it up for church. You can push a button and it will literally reset everything for that particular event. Quite amazing. And then you can be standing up on the stage and running the sound, going over to each individual musician and having them do something, and you're setting them up while you're doing that. Or you can be standing out in the auditorium listening to the sound, which is always different when you have people in it as well. People absorb sound. depending on what kind of chairs or benches or whatever you got out in the auditorium, it can make a difference. Enough about the sound stuff. It's enough about sound stuff. There's no sound in my, well, there is sound. Everything puts off a sound. You know, everything puts off a vibration. Everything does. Even a rock puts off vibration. Everything is literally singing in the universe. I should have just put ice in this thing. It's that cold, actually, already. And it's not even, it's cold outside. It's 24 degrees when I got up this morning. Well, let's just see what the weather's doing real quick while I'm at it. We're going to check on the weather here. Where's the button? Stop that. Comes up with pop-ups. Here we go. We got 31 degrees right now. It's going to be a high of 50 degrees today, which is about 20 degrees warmer than it was yesterday. And sunny, it looks like. Well, mostly cloudy, I guess. Looks like mostly cloudy. But it's going to be up in the 50s around 4 o'clock this afternoon. Not quite reaching 50 on there. So that's all about. But at least there's no rain in the forecast until Thursday. Thursday is supposed to be 74 and raining, but it's, there you go. Anyway, high tomorrow is supposed to be a little bit warmer. All right, anyway, onward and upward. In my cup, I have chai with Almond Joy Creamer. It'd be nice if it was hot. Anyway, in my backup cup, I have peach sweet tea. Homemade. Well, actually, that is not peach sweet. That's my old Whataburger tea. I brought... down in Dallas, right at the gate there where I leave from, it's usually the Echo Gates going from Dallas to South Bend. It's Echo 29 usually. And I was at the Echo Gate. And, of course, right there, there's a Whataburger. And Whataburger. I didn't get a burger. I got a large sweet tea. But it's good sweet tea. Down in Texas, places have sweet tea. You can go into Olive Garden. They'll have sweet tea. At Olive Garden up here, they have raspberry peach Bellini tea. They used to have peach Bellini tea at Olive Garden. They'd put it in a glass, and it literally had peaches. They would put fresh peaches in the glass. They don't do that anymore. I don't know why. That was my favorite thing. I would go to Olive Garden every Sunday or at least once a week just to get the peaches. No more. They don't do that anymore. We went into Olive Garden last night. Half of the restaurant, they already had the chairs up on the tables. We weren't that late. I think it was around 7:30 when we got there, something like that. Of course, now it's a Monday night. There's not a lot of people that go out on Monday nights. Unless it's a holiday day, holiday thing or something. But that's not what was happening there. So it was just very bizarre. What was happening? It was just, I don't know. And they wanted to seat us at the bar, which I have never had good service at the bar. A lot of times I'm out on my own, I'm traveling around, and they always ask, you know, if I walk in, there's a 15-minute wait unless you want to go to the bar. I don't want to go to the bar because I don't get served very well there. it's very rare that you can walk into the bar, sit up at the bar, or sit at the high top and get decent. The service is good. The problem is it's slow. You don't get waited on right away. Eating from a bar, a lot of times they're not designed to eat from. Okay, they're just not designed to sit there and eat. You're sitting on a stool typically. You know, I tend to fall off of those. Of course, then they're hauling me out, say, "Oh, you're too drunk." What? I'm not even drinking. But that's the problem. I'm old. I'm just old. I can't stand. So I sit up there at the bar, and of course they usually have like a thing it's like you have to reach way over to get your food because it's usually the bar has this like a thing where you can't just pull the plate up to your chin. Like I need to put my chin right on the edge of the plate and just kind of scrape the food in, kind of lift the plate up and kind of scrape it in because I can't really coordinate myself well enough to actually use my fork. I just have to use it as a scraper, scrape the food off into my mouth. That's the way I eat it. My wife is so. She's so proud of me when we go out. She usually wears a bag over her head. Anyway, we went to Culver's after we went to Olive Garden last night because we went there for dessert because the desserts at Culver's are better than they are. And it's right next door. So we went to the drive-thru, went over the drive-thru, and the flavor of the day was crazy for what is it? Crazy for cookie dough. I think Crazy for Cookie Dough. Something like that. And so I got my regular, you know, chocolate milkshake with strawberries in it. I like fresh strawberries in my chocolate milkshake. So I did that. So small. It was a small little thing. And then I think my cup was a little fuller than normal because I think I made the lady laugh. And I think they appreciated that. But what was funny, it was really funny, was the my wife wanted Crazy for Cookie Dough. She wanted a scoop of that with something on it. Okay, what was it she wanted on it? Anyway. Oh, chocolate, just hot fudge on the other. It's a hot fudge on it. On the. So we so she asked me again. I was telling the lady what we wanted, and I said, "Okay, I want one dip of crazy of cookie dough with hot fudge on it." And she goes, "What was the?" She goes, "You wanted the cookie dough?" I was like, "The crazy for cookie dough or whatever it was." I said, "Yeah, crazy for cookie." I went crazy for cookie dough, and, so, and she. I don't think she was expecting that. She thought that was pretty funny. And so when we went around to get it, of course, they were still laughing about that. So it was kind of fun. And I kid you not, I think they actually put more ice cream in my cup because of that. But where my shake was a little bit bigger than normal. Anyway, it's fun with stuff. Anyway, that's all there is. Folks, we're going to get into this stuff. We're going to talk about some things about AI. There's some interesting stuff going on, and I'd like to know what your thoughts are about it. And by the way, if you have a chance, if you're so aptly willfully able, let me know what you think. You can call 574-651-7685 or leave a text message there. Or if you're outside the country, you can go to google.com/voice and you can type that number in. I think it still works. I mean, it might only work for a month. I don't know how this deal works, but google.com/voice, you can go to that number, 574-651-7685. Type in a message, leave a message as a hotline type thing. It's a, you know, I might even play your message on the online. Who knows what's going to happen with that? As long as you're not a robot. I have, in the meantime, We're going to talk about some things here coming up right after this short interlude. I'm going to call it an interlude. I don't know what that means, but I can't spell it. But that's what we're going to do. So we're going to.
It's the news, according to me. Oh, it's the news, according to me. It's the news, according to me. Oh, it's the news. It's the news,
yeah.
According to me, it's the news.
It's the news.
According to me, it's the news. According to me.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I was singing along there. Anyway, let's get back into this. By the way, I'm putting out an album. Got some songs that I've been able to finish up. It's just been a lot of stuff that I've been working on, and AI has actually helped with that process. I've got typically artists out there. You come up with you have a notepad. I still have a notepad that I haven't even started on yet. But I have all these notes and all these little. I'll be playing my guitar and I kind of get like I'll just be messing around and doing some chord progressions and. You get inspired and you do this little, like you do a little song, you start coming up with maybe a chorus that you're going to sing. And then you start coming up with some words and you're kind of trying to put it together. And you got kind of, you just pull out your phone, you're kind of recording some things or you pull out a recorder or whatever you got. You're doing all this stuff. And you can't really homogenize it. You can't really put it together. You can't really get it all together and make a song out of it. You're kind of, all you got is notes, basically notes and kind of some stuff. And what happens is, AI becomes a tool. There's some stuff out there, Notebook LM and some other, whatever it is, Gemini or Claude, whatever you got going on. You can kind of prompt, use this stuff as a prompt. You throw it in, you say, here's my notes on this song. I'm trying to put this together so that it will fit right and make some sense. And I need to make couple of verses out of this with a chorus and maybe a bridge and whatever it is. You kind of tell it what you want to do, and it comes back with some directions for you, and it kind of gives you, kind of lays it out and says, well, this is the theme. This is what you're doing with it. This is where, you know, this is, and you can always change that. You can always say, well, no, that's, you're kind of off on that. That's kind of not what I was thinking when I was doing this. And let me back it up here. Let's put this in here and kind of clarify this. You might come out and say, okay, well then let's go this direction with this. Let's shorten this up. And sometimes it comes up way too wordy, and you're part of the creative process, and you're doing this whole thing, and you're kind of making it work. And what ends up happening is you're trying to formulate how this thing should feel and how it should look. So you're kind of using AI as a tool to kind of help you think through the process and keep it organized. Well, then you might even have an audio of part of that, so you can pull that out. And what you end up doing, there's some AI software applications out there that, it's not really software, I guess it's online software. So you can pull the stuff out, and what you do is you put your prompts in, you put all your stuff in, and you put the raw music that you've got in there, and it comes back out with something. And sometimes what it comes back out with is amazing. Sometimes it's really screwy. It's crazy, weird. Sometimes you have to, you know, redo the direct, and you have to direct the thing. You can't just plug it in. Well, you can't just plug it in and it'll come out with something, but you never know what you're going to get with that kind of thing, that kind of attitude. However, there's some things that you can do, that are kind of, it's pretty interesting sometimes what you can come up with. And while we're talking about music and doing all this stuff, I'm going to play the beginning of this song. So see what you think. It's just the beginning of it. It's called "It's All About Time," and it's about this. It's about "Teach me to number my days" is what it's based on. There's a scripture: "Teach me to number my days." In other words, as you get older and you realize, hey, this life is not finite. We have, you know, when you're younger, you kind of think, you know, all your days are ahead of you. You're not really thinking about eternity that much. You're not thinking about the end of your life. You're not thinking about how many more days you have left. How many more seasons? How many more summer times do I have left? You know, there's just a million of them out there. Look at these old people. They're like, oh, they've been around forever. They haven't been around forever. It was yesterday. They were your age. And that's kind of the whole thing that this song is about. So I'm going to play it and see what you think. This is just the beginning of it. I've done a remix on it. I think it's actually turned out.
Lights on open roads.
Sorry, I'm singing along with it.
When I was young, I thought forever was waiting. Days stretched long and the sun never faded. Chasing the wind with a heart on a fray. Dreams in my pocket, always one more game to play. But wheels keep turning.
Anyway, this is... that's me. It's my song. That's my song, I should say. It's called "It's All About Time," and here's the words: hands on the wheel, headlights on open road. When I was young, I thought forever was waiting. Days stretched long, and the sun never faded. Chasing the wind with a heart unafraid. Dreams in my pocket, always one more game to play. But wheels keep turning, the pages turn dry. Life rushes by in the blink of an eye. It's all about time. No way to rewind. From the first step taken to the last uphill climb. Every heartbeat's measured. Every breath is a sign. Teach me to number my days while they're mine. Yeah, it's all about time. And it goes on from there. And of course, the bridge... the promise of sunrise, the fall of the night, every moment given passes out of sight. It's all about time. All the moments I've wasted, this is the bridge here. All the moments I've wasted, all the love I've denied. Now I'm searching for meaning in the chapters I write. Reach for your wisdom. Let your truth I'm seeing, I have a hard time seeing around my microphone here. Let your truth light shine. Let your truth light my, let your truth light my way, burning bright in my soul for the rest of my days. And it goes back into the whole, you know, it's all about time. No promises blind from the, it's just from wasted seconds to a promise to find, or to a purpose to find. I'm sorry. Yeah. So anyway, AI helped with all this. I actually wrote this song. Almost all these words I wrote, kind of in a loose format. And I actually wrote this song during a time. This is several years ago. There was this movie, and I was doing the music project for it. Of course, now I wasn't writing the songs. I was a collaborative effort between. I was doing the putting the music to some words that a guy had written. He wrote the songs, the words to the songs, and I put the music to it. So I was kind of the music guy, and we did this whole album. And it was called Wilderness Worship, and it was Cover Me is what was the, I think the name of the actual album. There are several songs in it, all kind of hokey. They were good. There wasn't anything wrong with them necessarily, but it was just. Took a lot of work. We spent almost a year on the whole project. And this was back in the day when it was just, you know, nowadays we could have it put out in a week. But it was one of those things where I was learning Cubase, I was learning all those stuff with Pro Tools. It was taking a lot of time, and I was doing almost everything. I was doing the vocals, I was doing the drums, the guitar, I was doing all this stuff. And it was just laying down all those tracks. It was taking a long time. Got all done. Well, there was this scene. This big thing became a part of the music to a movie. This guy had written a book, and they made a movie out of the book, but it really didn't follow the book very well. I thought the book was really well done. The movie, it didn't look anything like the book, in my opinion. I was reading the book. I was like, well, this is cool. This make a great movie. And they butchered it all up with all, unfortunately. But anyway, that's my opinion. And of course, it didn't sell. The thing didn't. It never did make any money. And we were pretty heavily invested in it, but it did. Just it was just a really sad situation. Anyway, so we ended up. There's this one scene in the movie. It was near the end where they're kind of this lady is the main star of it. What's the guy's name? Jesse somebody. He was kind of a big. Well. Danny Trejo was in the movie. There's another guy. Everybody, you wouldn't know his name. He's been in several big movies. He was also, I think he was actually a soap opera guy initially. Anyway, he was in a movie, and he was actually wasn't the main star, the main character, I should say. He was kind of the big name in the thing. But they ended up. So this one part of the movie where they're like running out of time. They have to get this thing done by midnight. And we didn't really have a song for that. And I was thinking, man, these scenes would be so much better if they had this background music kind of keep coming through different parts of it. So I was writing this thing, and that's the song right there. That's what I wrote. And I actually had audio recording of it, the whole thing. I had, you know, all done. What I did is I popped that thing into an AI music processing thing. And it came up with all the backing tracks, all the stuff, and you can divide it up. You can do what they call the stems. You can pull it all out, do all this stuff. Very fascinating stuff. And this is what it came up with. And you can lay down all the tracks. You can get all the backing vocals. You can get all the backing drums. Everything. It kind of self produces that way. So it's like a cover song. Now the Supreme Court has done some things recently that has. I disagree with what they're doing with this stuff. However, I would rather have them lean the way they're leaning a little bit more than the other direction. But the artistic industry, people who make money on art, whether it be music or pictures or movies, whatever it is a kind of a wishy-washy kind of world. It's a weird world. There's lots of things going on there. We'll talk about that in a little bit, but And we're going to talk about some of the things, the other things about AI and some of the other, I can't even spell artificial intelligence. So this is kind of the weird stuff that's going on out there. But anyway, now since I've talked about all this stuff, now Skip, let's see if this actually works. I don't know if it's going to work or not. Get a caller here. And this has been working very quickly with Chrome. Chrome is amazing in terms of the way it interacts with this program. I'm not sure. It's just got higher quality everything, and which I may or may not be good. We talk about that a little bit later. But first of all, I'm going to check with this guy here and see what he has to say. Usually they pop in here pretty quick on Chrome. See if he says it. Oh, it's no voice again. It was working earlier. Now it's not. What happened? Oh, it disconnected. What? How did it disconnect? Well, I'll tell you what, folks, we're going to take a little break. I'm going to take another little break here just to see what's going on.
It's the news, according to me. Oh, it's the news.
It's the news,
according to me. It's the news.
It's the news,
according to me. Oh, it's the news.
It's the news,
according to me. It's the news.
It's the news,
yeah. According to me.
It's the news.
It's the news,
according to me. According to me.
And of course, it's not done. I thought I could get all this done. It's just hesitating now. I'm not sure what's happening. I'm not sure why this is background. I just had it working. Extremely frustrating. There's nothing on that one at all. I don't know what that one's doing. There's a little thing called terminal in... Maybe it's because that thing's running. That couldn't be it, but we're gonna get rid of it anyway. This little thing called terminal in. Yeah, see, it's not even installing the packages now. I don't think it was shut down properly. That's bizarre. It's just bizarre that it actually ran into a problem with it here for some reason. I don't know. There's a little thing called API keys. So what happens? Oh, here we go. This is it. Finally installed. I'm going to reinstall these keys and see if this works. It was working earlier, and for some reason it just quit working. I don't know what happened with that. But what we do, they have the things called API keys. So this it enables you to put in. So your program, when it goes to the website and it picks up the information it needs, it uses this API. I don't know what API stands for, but I'm sure it's something important. All right, so now all I have to do is supposedly, if I type in start.command, this is a program running. Yeah, it's going to go over here and try to do it over there. I'm going to go back over here. I'm going to try to use Chrome again, see if I can make this thing work here. It's not reloading. Oh, what's it doing now? Oh, I see. Oh, okay. That's interesting. I'm going to do that then. For some reason. Okay, now it's back again. Let's see what we got here for already. Push start. It's actually got my microphone there. Oh, let's try it again. Let's try Artie here and see what Artie has to say. Nope, no voice. Interesting, because it was working earlier. I tested it before I started and it was working just fine. Now what I wonder is if I try it on here, if it will work. Speech not authorized. No, okay, that's fine. Not there. Maybe I should try it on Safari again. Maybe it will work on Safari. But there's no voice means that there's no, it's the API key's not working. It's no certificate, SSL. Voice exception. Sorry, it's not working. Very strange. Very, very strange, I have to say. Very bizarre. The sorry, folks. Sorry, I was really kind of hoping we would have everything working on this thing. I really thought I had it going, but it's not. Apparently, not going. So it's, we're just going to have to be where we're at, I guess. I don't know. It's kind of bizarre. Anyway, talking about things again. The TSA TSA issues. They have sent some ICE agents to work with TSA. And what's happening is they're. TSA has to, they're in charge of the entire airport security areas. And what's happening is they're staffed. The staff is not showing up for work because they're not getting paid. And so some of them aren't showing up. Well, what ends up happening is they end up going to, they have staff is all over the place. When you go to an airport, there's perimeter security. It's not just checkpoint security. It's everything's, there's all kinds of security that TSA is responsible for. So they're all over the place. Some of those places where they go are not necessarily, you know, high. What do you want to say? There's not a lot of interaction with the public. They're just securing particular areas. And so, what the ICE agents are doing is they're filling in those positions. So you're not interacting with them in the public necessarily. They might be in the area, in the general vicinity, in the general area stuff, but they're providing some of that security. So it's alleviating some of the need for all that stuff. Well, here the deal though is that that enables, you know, them to do the job of the checkpoint security more. So that focuses them in on that. Well, now of course the ICE is there as well, and they're not checking everybody for status. They are there, but they're probably scaring some people off. If you know ICE is there, if you're not legal and you know ICE is there, you're probably gonna take the bus. And anyway, it's the kind of stuff that goes on. Now, so what has happened now is that this is fixing the problem. Of course, now the Democrats are all over this thing. They just think this is the worst thing in the world, and. Because it's scaring people, and yet people are actually grateful that they're doing it. You know, they're interviewing the CNN and everybody else is interviewing people. Now CNN has come back and is starting to. I should have had some a little bit more. Audio examples of some of the things they've been saying, but the Democrat they're basically warning the Democrat Party that hey guys, this is not going well with the general public out here. They're seeing what you guys are doing and they don't like it. The general public is on board with this thing getting fixed, and that's where the problem is that they're recognizing this as an issue. And the media many times will try to warn politicians by doing things like this, where they come up with a report and they kind of try to get things fixed by a proxy kind of things, where they'll broadcast to the world out there, hey, this is what's happening out here, folks, and wink, wink, you better get your act together. The way they communicate is very – sometimes they're all on a call on a once in a while, they get caught on these, was it Project Veritas a couple of times broke into some of these big conference calls that they would have talking about how they're going to deal with some people. And of course, that's, what am I doing here? Let me start. Here we go. I'm typing in the background, trying to get this thing going. So, oh, here we go again. 8080. See if that works. Try this again. And it's still not working. That's weird. It's kind of bizarre that it's not picking up on that. Oh, I see what's going on. Oh, that's because it's the wrong address. Well, there we go. Anyway, so still not working. What is going on with that? Oh, it's 8081 again. I wonder why it keeps going back and forth between those. All right. Let's see if this thing will even work this time. I don't know if it probably won't. Client connected. It's happening. It's doing something there. Let's see if it's going to say no voice. Okay. Still no voice. There's something wrong. Something's wrong with my API key. That's what it basically is. All right. Enough of that. No more distractions there. Stop that. Cancel that. Just be done with it. AI baloney. Anyway. So I want to get into this whole thing. I'm going to change topics here real quick. We're going to talk more about AI, but that's going to be the point of today's topic, I guess, basically is what I'm saying. There was a guy that did a little, is it maybe 15 minutes long, and he's talking about the whole thing with AI and what's happening with it and how it's being utilized or not being utilized in a lot of companies. And I think it's important to understand where we stand with some of these issues, because the reality is there are people who are out there who think that AI, it was about 10 years ago, Elon Musk was saying that, you know, we're releasing the demon. He was kind of saying this is dangerous, this artificial intelligence thing. Now, I think part of it is we didn't know what to expect from it. We didn't know what to think about it. And I think that was part of the issue. I think that part of the issue was, what is this thing? What is it becoming? What does it have the potential to become? And I think that again, part of that issue is that it's the unknown. There's the fear of the unknown, which is part of this issue. And there's also the idea that we are searching for a deity. Now, bear with me on this a little bit. Humankind is looking for answers, and we have a tendency to rely on ourselves for those answers. And we somehow think that science is almost to the point of being a god. And we think that AI, with all this computer technology, this thing that man has invented and done all the input to, that because it has gleaned all the information from all over the place, that it has all the answers. It can put all this together and make sense of it and make it all make sense and make all the answers come out. Well, life is not that way. It has been my experience. Now, back up here. As an airline pilot, there was there's this part of the equation is a little group of people called scheduling, the scheduling department. Now, if you're out there and you're listening and you're part of the schedulers, you're wonderful people. There's nothing better than, you know, you people are just wonderful. If you're not a scheduler, those people are just little rats. Anyway, don't listen. If you're a scheduler, don't listen to that part of it. And they're just doing the best they can. They're doing the job that they've been told to do. It's just one of those things where they're on one end of it and we're on the other. The days when scheduling works out great for yourself, that's great. Scheduling is wonderful. On the days where they make you do something you don't want to do, those are the days that, you know, scheduling is terrible. Those people on scheduling, blah. And then there are some people who their whole goal in life is to tick off flight crews. And they're hated by everyone, and of course, except for their managers, because they're squeezing every little bit of life out of the flight crews that they can. When I say flight crews, I mean, you know, pilots and flight attendants. And so the crazy part of that is that most of them are trained to input something into a computer, and they have this little, what's called an optimizer, flight crew optimizer is what it's called. It's a program. Almost all the airlines use it. And there's no human involvement in most of the time. There's no human involvement in this scenario. And you've got something. There's a dispatch department as well. So the dispatchers they make the flight plans. They put it all together. They get the, decide how much fuel it's going to take. Whether you need an alternate. Whether you need all this. Now the pilots are supposed to also know that information. They look over the pilot and the dispatcher have to agree on everything that happens, and that we have to sign that release to make sure that it's all valid and that everything looks good. That we have the legal alternate, legal amount of fuel, legal amount of if there's anything broken on the airplane, we have to agree that that's not, that's part of the MEL. We have to comply with all this stuff, this placards and stickers and all this stuff we have to do. It's like something like a knob on a button on a chair or something might be, scratched or broken or something. We have to agree that that's not going to impact the flight at all. All this stuff that happens all the time. And then we have to agree on weather. Is the weather good enough? Do we have enough fuel because of the weather that we have to have? Do we have to have an alternate because the weather's down to a certain point at our destination airport? So we have to have an alternate airport to go to for that weather closes in. What the terminal forecast is. All those things have to be agreed upon. We have to go over that stuff. Now, in the process of doing all that, there's something called a dispatch coordinator. There's different dispatchers that will run different flights. So you might have five or six different dispatchers, and they're all running four or five flights each at any given time. And all these airplanes in the air. And so, or more, you might have 30 dispatchers, whatever it is, how big the company is, depending on how big the airline is. And so they're all working on these flights, and they all have them going, and they're all at the same time. And of course, they're working on the next flight or the next group of flights that are going to go after that. So they're all constantly updating the next flight plan, constantly doing. And pilots are sending messages to the dispatchers back and forth and all that kind of stuff. And the coordinators are the ones who kind of make the overall big picture decisions. Okay, this airplane needs to be there. You also have maintenance department. These airplanes have inspections they have to comply with. All this stuff has to come together. And what ends up happening? And you got passengers as well. So you got passengers making connections. You got all the stuff that you have to make sure that all happens. You have to get these flights accomplished so that all happens. That's even a bigger overseer type thing. And ultimately, that's your customer base. And then you got bags on top of that. So you got everything else, thrown in there. And you got the bags. And you wonder why your bags don't make it to your destination. Well, that's why. Because all this stuff has to happen. It has to come together all at the same time. And it just sometimes doesn't work. But especially when you're making a connection, it makes it more difficult. Sometimes they'll switch airplanes. Sometimes they'll switch gates. Whatever it has, and your bags are. Who knows where your bags are going to go? So, all this stuff comes together. Well, the problem is with scheduling department, they're not looking at the big picture of what the dispatchers are looking at, and they're also not looking. The dispatchers aren't necessarily looking at what maintenance is looking at. I mean, they're a little more connected to maintenance than the schedulers are, but they still don't see that. And the dispatchers, the schedulers are sitting in a room where they probably don't even have a window to look outside to see what the weather's doing locally, let alone what's happening around the nation. They may not recognize the fact there's storms moving in that are going to mess everything up. For example, I was rerouted one time. I think I was in, I was someplace down south. I don't remember where it was. And was sent to I was Birmingham, Alabama, and so I was sent there. I was supposed to go to White Plains over an overnight, and I ended up in Birmingham, Alabama. So I ended up in Birmingham with a different crew than what I was originally flying with. I was supposed to get up the next morning, fly to Charlotte, and then be done. I was supposed to go back to just going to ride in the back, get back to my base, and I was supposed to be done. Got up that morning, looked at my schedule. They had me doing another turn down to Charleston from Charlotte. And then I was going to deadhead back. So I wasn't going to get back now until, instead of getting back at noon, I was going to get back at like 6 o'clock that night, back to Chicago, 6 o'clock that night. I was pretty upset about that. Now, legally, they can do it. They can actually make that happen. I argue with the union about what's in the contract and what it actually says and why they can't do that. Well, they can, but they have to pay you junior man pay, which is that's their issue. They have to, that's the problem. They have to actually pay you double time for that extra time, which is fine. I'll take the time, but I had a meeting that night I wanted to get to, and I can't make that up again. I can't get that back. Oh yeah, I'm getting paid extra, but I'm missing a meeting I really wanted to go to. And they're not going to have the meeting again. So if you're missing a wedding, you're missing whatever it is you're missing, you're going to miss it. It's just the way it is. It's part of the problem of being out there like that. So the weather was moving in. There was a big long line of weather all the way from Canada all the way down through Florida was moving through the area. We had to go through it to get from Birmingham to Charlotte. We had to go around some of it and poke our way through it. So we get on that side of it, and all it's doing is building up. The day's getting longer. This was early in the morning. It was still, the stuff was still there. We get into Charlotte, and we get there, and we're messing around. We get ready to go to the Charleston turn, and the plane got there. We got over to the plane, got our bags put on the plane. We had about a 3-hour sit before we had to go, or 2-hour sit, I guess it was. And the plane, that flight was getting delayed. And then, we were supposed to originally fly out at noon or something, I think, from Charlotte to Chicago on the Deadhead. We're going to miss that flight because we're obviously. All of a sudden, the Charleston flight, because of the weather moving in, they had rebooked us on a later flight to go back to Chicago. All of a sudden, the flight to Charleston cancels. Well, duh. We were either going to make it to Charleston and end up either timing out because of our duty times, because the weather was going to shut down Charlotte. There was no way we were just going to go down there and back without any kind of delays because of weather, let alone the fact that we might get down there and not even be able to get back to Charleston. End up having to do, then have to end up finishing up the next day and our day off. That goes into our day off at that point. So then this whole thing just turned, it was turning into a crazy show. And I knew, just looking at it, I just look at the radar, look at something outside, look at something out beyond what the computer says we can do and what realistically is going to happen here. And finally, they decided to cancel that Charleston turn because that would have just messed everything up. Come to find out, the flight attendant, we had another flight attendant coming in from somewhere that was supposed to work with us. She was sitting on the tarmac in Miami, stuck on a plane that was delayed getting to Charlotte. They're supposed to fly her up to get there. She was supposed to get there at the time we were supposed to leave to go to do the Charleston turn. Come to find out, she was still sitting there on the ramp by the time we got on the plane to go to Chicago. But it was crazy. But this is the kind of thing that, depending on a computer to tell you, well, this can be done. This is, even if it's within a minute, we can still do this. Look outside. Look at the weather. Look at what's going on. I had them call me a couple times one time. Well, we're going to send you, do one more turn yet. You're going to go to Birmingham overnight. I was like, well, I've been working since 11 o'clock this morning. It's 11 o'clock at night right now. You think I'm, and they're delaying flights out of Chicago. They wanted me to fly from Chicago to Birmingham or someplace down in the south. And I think it was actually, it might have been Fayetteville. And so you want me to go down there. You want me to leave. I'm going to time out in about 45 minutes. If I don't get off the gate and off the ground, I'm within 45 minutes right now. If it leaves on time, if we get off the ground on time, I'll have about 45 minutes. And they're delaying right now. They've got a ground stop. They were delaying things about 2 hours. I'm going to get out there. I'm going to get on there. I'm going to get in the airplane. We're going to get away from the gate. We're going to sit in the holding pad. I'm going to time out, even with a 2-hour extension. I was like, you don't understand how this works, do you? Let alone the fact that I'm getting tired. It's getting late at night, and I'm probably going to fatigue. Because if we sit out there until after midnight, I'm just going to say, you know what? I'm too tired to do this flight. I can't fly another 2 hours. I mean, I may not be tired right at that moment. I'd be fine to do a landing, but in 2 hours from now, I'm going to be even more tired. And I know, and it's just not just stupid. Once you start doing flights after midnight, if you're a normal day flyer, and that whole trip we've been flying early morning stuff, you're tired. On day four, you're done. At midnight, yeah, you shouldn't be out there flying around. And I don't care what kind of rest you've gotten through the day. Your body's just not up for it. Especially at my age. And it's just one of those things where they push that limit all the time. Well, it's Joe, you're legal to do it. You can do it. It says right here. Paper says you can do it. Okay, well, the reality is I'm tired. Or the reality is the weather is terrible. And they don't take those things into consideration. Now, this is where the computer might say you can do something. And this is where API, I'm getting back to my story. Don't worry about this. AI is the problem in this situation. Because it only looks at the information it has had input to it. It doesn't have wisdom. It might have all this information. And it might be able to see the big picture in some ways. But the way it puts it together is still programmed by an algorithm. By a means of the way it's going to think. And this is where we run into the problem. Now, what this guy was talking about, I'm going to go back to this video I watched. And I think this is important for us to recognize as we look at AI and the technology that's ahead of us. And he kind of made this correlation. Now, you have this, let's say you own a barn. It's an old barn, kind of rickety. And it's got, you know, you're trying to store, you know, corn or whatever you're storing in there. You got bins to store things, hay, whatever you're storing in your barn. And you got this problem because there's rats living in your barn. There's a rat problem. Now, I remember as a kid, my uncle had a barn, and he had rats all over the place. And it was they were kind of taking over. They were digging into stuff, and of course they had a lot of they had a pig farm. There was pigs and chickens and corn and all kinds of stuff that they were growing. But their barn was just overrun with. There had five or six rats, I think, that were rat holes that were, you know, running around. They had rats all over the place, and they were trying to get. Because there's plenty of food everywhere. There's chicken feed. There's all this kind of stuff you're trying to store in the barn. It's just everything's just a mess. So I remember my dad. Now, keep in mind, this is back in the 60s, late 60s, early 70s, probably late 60s, actually. I'm sure it was. I'm sure I was probably 5 years old, 6 years old. I remember this vividly because it was very amazing to me. My dad was always called upon to do things. Just looking back on it now, some of the stuff he would do, I know where I get it. Now I know where I get it. Yeah, it's all coming. It's all making sense now. My uncle was like, we got to get rid of these rats out here. He said, well, we'll bring some BB guns out. And we'll see what we can do here. So my brother was all excited. He was probably 13, 14 years old. He gets to use his BB gun to shoot some rats. But my dad had more ideas to this whole thing than just the BB guns, because you can't just, you know, run down a hole with your BB gun and shoot the rats. This was at night when the rats were mostly active. But we showed up. I remember it was getting dark outside. My dad had this hose in the trunk. I'm like, what are you doing with the hose? It's like a vacuum sweeper hose. I was like, what are we doing with that? I didn't ask any questions. I was just along for the ride. I was just kind of observing all this. I was the observer kid. I just kind of sat around and observed everything. I'm around playing with the cats, you know, whatever it was. There's the dog. I think there was a dog there. Anyway, we had all this stuff's going on. Well, then I see my dad pulls the car around the side of the barn over there, and he pulls this hose out. And he starts putting this hose down the hole, this rat hole. And then he hooks it up to the exhaust pipe of the car. Let's just say about 15 minutes later, you got rats coming out. Most of them were pretty bad shape. They were not looking good. One of them we found near another hole where apparently they had, you know, they had dug in one place and dug out another place or whatever. There was multiple holes. The entrances to the holes, we found a couple of rats that were pretty much passed out, almost dead, kind of last gasps. And of course, then my brother was there to use his BB gun to get rid of them. Let's just say by the time we left, couple hours later, there were no rats to be found anywhere, and their rat problem was done for a while, for at least that season anyway. But it was It worked. I don't know where my dad came up with it. There was no internet back then. I don't know where my dad came up with that idea. I really don't. I don't even think my uncle knew what was going to happen. He just thought we were going to come out there and try to. I don't think he had any clue that that's what my dad had planned. But it worked. It worked. Now there was another time. Now see, this is the kind of thing that I don't know where did I go off with that. Anyway, this guy had a rat problem. So this guy associates this AI thing with a rat problem in a barn. Now there's ways of getting rid of rats with a barn. Now you can use poison. Of course, now the poison's going to affect the environment. It's going to affect other animals. You know, the rats are going to eat that poison, and possibly a bird's going to eat that rat, and it's then you got poison in the birds, and or another animal's going to eat that rat. It's going to be poisoned or whatever. It's going to happen to it. So it gets into the environment. That's an issue. So somebody hands you a hammer and says, "Here, this will solve your rat problem." Oh, it's a hammer. Oh, it's AI. Oh, that'll solve your marketing issues. Oh, okay. What do I do with this? So the hammer is in your hand now. You're just like, okay, so am I supposed to go around and smash the rats? Are you supposed to hit the rats with a hammer? That's what the hammer's for? Oh, I'm supposed to make a machine that will make the hammer smash the rats for me. I'll set a trap with this, and the hammer will come down on their heads when they come out of the hole. No, okay, well, maybe I'm supposed to use the hammer to build a mouse trap, to build a rat trap. That's what I'm supposed to do. No, maybe not. Maybe I should use the hammer to fix the barn so that the rats can't get in. I can board it up and put, the places where there's holes, and maybe that's it. Maybe it's all those, and maybe all those would work. That's the problem with AI. People can have it. They don't know what to do with it. Kind of like a dog that chases a car and doesn't know it catches it. And well, now what do I do? Part of the issue here is, how do we implement this in a practical, secure, knowledgeable way? Exactly. What is it supposed to do? That we have. Okay. We got AI. We're going to implement AI. Well, that's not, AI is not, you can't. This is like people who, I always had a hard time with this back in Bible school, back when I was a kid. We had Bible classes after school or even during school when I was a kid. And Jesus was the answer to every question, right? What's the reason? What happens? Who's the what? Jesus, it's always, he was the answer to everything. You're almost, 80% of the time, if you just shouted out that his name, you were answering the question correctly. Well, it's just, well, we have a marketing problem. How are we going to do this? AI! Okay. What? I mean, what do you do with it? That's where we're at with this stuff, is how does it actually function within our work environment? How does it change our workflow? How do we implement it into what we're doing? What is the AI? See, the AI is kind of like the, you're not selling AI, you're selling a solution to a problem. This is where I think that people are involved in the AI industry are starting to realize this now. They're fascinated with it themselves. Look what it can do. Look, got AI. It can do this, can do that. Okay, well, that's great. But how does that affect your life, your everyday life? How does that affect your work? AI is not going to turn the wrench. AI is not going to make this happen. It's not going to actually, it may actually get a client all on its own. You might have a chat bot. You might have the whole thing, and like somebody calls and orders something, and you might actually do a sale. That's not going to do everything else for you. You still have to do the packaging. You still have to do the marketing. Now, if it's a digital product, then if it's all in the digital world and digital realm and then all online, then maybe the AI can do the whole thing. There's a limit to that. There's a lot of other things that human beings need besides just what's on, the internet. There's physical products that you have to, it might be listed on the internet, but you still have to physically do something with it. It's not going to put air in your tire. So the The problem we're running into now, there's those on one side that are saying, oh, AI is going to take over. Now, there are a lot of your life is online, folks. Most people's lives are, their livelihood, or so I should say, a lot of what they do is online. A lot of their personal information, a lot of their stuff is online. That can be hacked. A lot of things can happen there. And a major hack with an AI bot of some kind or AI agent of some kind can really mess lives up in a big way. And that's the potential is the risk that we're taking here. Do we really know what we're playing with in that respect? Now, at the same time, could it disrupt, supply chains, those kinds of things that I've always told everybody, when they were talking about shutting things down, essential worker stuff and all that stuff, you don't realize how delicate and how fragile the supply chain is. And during the whole COVID shutdown, I was warning everybody, look, you can't just shut off some industries and you'd be surprised at, you might make a button factory makes shirt buttons. Well, you guys aren't essential. You're going to find out how essential it is when you can't make people's shirts. And all of a sudden now things are going, this is going to change. It has this butterfly effect. And you can't really say something's unessential, non-essential, unless it's, some kind of Democrat thing. But there is a way of realizing this that you have to have a perspective on. Now, again, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a lawyer, I'm not a financial counselor, and I'm also not an electronics AI specialist. I will admit I've had a deeper dive into AI than most people in the population have. I realize that it's kind of hard to believe it. It seems like I'm way behind already on what AI can do and what my understanding of it. And again, artificial intelligence, I don't really like to call it intelligence at all. I like to call it synthetic intelligence or whatever you want to call it. It's not a god. And I think that's the main thing that we need to keep in mind. People look at it as if it's infallible. It can't make mistakes. It makes all kinds of weird mistakes and does all kinds of weird stuff. Just like this morning. I had it working. I had it working. And all of a sudden, it's not. I don't know why. All I did was, I had it working. I went over here, pushed a button, started recording, and now it's not working. I don't know why. Very bizarre. Very strange. So, so there you have it, folks. That's pretty much all I've got to say about that. That's all I'll say about that. We're going to, I'm well over an hour. Now, again, this whole issue of getting the show, what I do is I transfer this thing over into my DAO, and then I have to get it bounced out of there into an MP3 file. And that takes a while. It'll quit a couple. It's been taking me 3 or 4 times to get it done. It usually takes 20 minutes just to go through the whole thing to get an hour-long show done. So we're going to have to see how that works out this morning. It might be noon. It's already almost 11 o'clock now. It might be noon by the time I get it all done. Anyway, again, call the show if you would, call or text the show, 574-651-7685. Let me know what you think about what I think. And we'll go from there. In the meantime, tomorrow's show hopefully will be live. However, my wife and I are going to try to go out for breakfast. So we'll see how that goes. Anyway, God bless. Have a great rest of your day, rest of your week. Enjoy what weather you have wherever you are. It's getting kind of loud. See you later, folks. God bless. Take care. And I will... it's going to end here eventually. At the end, I'll see ya.